it up. What are they talking about? The Word of God. Wisdom. My, that's good, boy. Wouldn't that help us if we would do that instead of running to everything else with our problems? We run to YouTube, we run to Facebook, and we run everywhere else trying to figure out our problems. Open it up. Listen up. And lift it up. Well, that would be good. Psalm 107 tonight. Miss Pam, it would have been good if that page cooperated tonight, wouldn't it? She's flipping the page and it kept wanting to come back. She's flipping and it kept wanting to come back. Psalm 107. We have preached from this psalm a couple of times in the past couple of years. We preached a message entitled Wits End. We preached a message recently. I say recently, it's probably been well over a year, if not longer, regarding verse number 24. Verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. We spoke about that, but tonight, we'll see these verses tonight, but tonight I want us to focus, and let me just read four verses, if I could, and we're going to read them. They're mixed in the chapter here, but let's read these four verses tonight, and this is going to be our thought and our focus tonight, even though we'll look at a good majority of the chapter tonight. Verse number 8, can we start there tonight? Verse number 8. The Bible says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His, what's the word there? For His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21, by the way, I hope you're noticing all four of these verses end in an exclamation point. Verse number 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. That's the word that we want to focus our attention on tonight, is the word goodness. The setting of Psalm 107 is most likely after the 70 years of captivity in Babylon. Cyrus has sounded his decree, and the captives may now go back home. They may now go back to Jerusalem. The majority of the Jews, many of whom had been born in Babylon during the 70-year exile, really honestly could have cared less. No way were they going to spend 4 months trekking across the desert to a place that lay in ruins and reproach. And as Demas of the New Testament, having loved this present world, they stayed home in Babylon. But sadly, those who make that choice never get to see the beauty of God the same way those who trust Him get to see the beauty of God. And they never truly get to experience the goodness of God because they're constantly focused on this world. And by the way, I submit to us tonight, and I see it many, many times. I see it in the lives of Christians, many times even Christians, even those who haven't decided to strike their lot in this world, many times because of the circumstances in their lives, they get their eyes fixed upon the circumstance and they fail to see the goodness of God. We heard it many, many times this week from the missionaries that were here with us. We heard about the goodness of God. And I want to submit to us tonight, and we know this, and I know that we know it, but God is good no matter the circumstance. Isn't He? God is good no matter whether everything is going great or whether it seems like everything's falling apart. And by the way, I've seen a lot of Christians over the past year and a half who have just thrown in the towel because they're just kind of exhausted. Like I think Brother Stark mentioned, they're kind of just exhausted with what's going on. Listen, now's no time to throw in the towel. Man, now's the time to pick up the sword of the Spirit and fight harder than we've ever fought before. The Lord's coming back. Now's no time to throw in the towel. Now's no time to say, look, where is God? And by the way, let me say this tonight, and we'll pray in just a moment. We'll get into the message. But let me say this tonight. And I say this with fear and trembling, because when you make a statement like this, the devil is sure to try to prove whether you really believe it or not. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. It doesn't matter what comes in our lives, and I hope that this is true, this is a true statement tonight. I don't care what comes in my life, I pray to God there will never be a time I doubt who He is. And there will never be a time when I question God. I'm just going to tell you, I'm getting a little bit off of my notes right now. That's okay. We'll come back to the introduction in just a moment. And we'll pray and we'll get into the message tonight. But I honestly have little time or little sympathy for people who question God because of the circumstances that come into their lives. God is still good. God is still the same today. He'll be the same tomorrow. Listen, if I wake up tomorrow and for some reason I have to go to the doctor and I get a diagnosis that isn't good, God is still good. And again, I say this with fear and trembling, but if I leave this world in 2021 by death, God is still good. He's still good. My circumstances don't determine whether God is good or not. He's always good. And boy, Christians sometimes, especially in these past, 16 months or so. I think it was Brother Ferran. It may have been one of the others. But he made a good statement. He said this past year, he said all it's done, it has increased the faithfulness of the faithful, and it has revealed the faithlessness of the faithless. And that's true. Is that not true? Absolutely. Because I look at people who over these past 16 months have been faithful and faithful and faithful, and their faithfulness has increased over these past months. And I believe part of that is because we understand that God is good. And He's always good to us. Now, by the way, I'm not going to sing to you tonight like Brother Stark did. But I do tell you tonight, He's good. Let's pray and we'll get into this passage tonight. The word goodness, it means that which is morally right and righteous. That which is a benefit and an advantage for someone else. And isn't that what God's goodness is for us? It is a benefit and an advantage for someone else. It is that which is morally right and righteous. It speaks of kindness and it speaks of loving kindness. Goodness. Goodness. And by the way, tonight, let's not forget the goodness of God, but let's also not forget that God wants us to manifest goodness. God wants us to show goodness to other individuals. Amen. Father, help us tonight. Teach us. Father, I probably will not say anything that these dear folks don't already know tonight, but Father, I do want to encourage our hearts. I want to remind us tonight. Because Father, You are truly good to us. And it's not about the possessions, although You have blessed us beyond measure. It's not about the good health, although most everyone in here tonight, as best I know, has fairly good health. Father, it's not about any tangible possession or activity. Father, it is simply about Your character. And Your character is good. Father, it is Your personality, it is Your nature to show forth goodness. And Father, may we be reminded of that tonight. Father, bad circumstances, perceived bad circumstances come into our lives sometimes, but that does not negate Your goodness. And Father, may we be reminded of that tonight. Help us, Lord. Father, we just commit these next few moments to you, Lord. We're going to praise you. We're going to give you honor and glory for what you're going to show us in these few moments that we have together tonight. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to take my title from a different passage. And so real quickly, I'd like for you to take your Bibles and go to Psalm 33. Would you do that? And we're going to come right back to Psalm 107. That's where we're going to be for the entirety of the night tonight. And I know that Psalm 107 is primarily speaking to the nation of Israel. However, as we walk through it tonight, we're not going to be able to deny the great applications for us as God's people tonight. And by the way, not just for us tonight, but for every generation, the applications are still the same for God's people. And tonight I want to bring you a message entitled, "The Earth is Full of God's Goodness." Psalm 33, verse 1, the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." The Bible says it is becoming of an upright person. It is becoming for us as Christians to praise. By the way, it is unbecoming for a Christian not to praise. Verse 2, "Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto Him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right." This isn't the message necessarily tonight, although we'll talk about the word of the Lord a little bit tonight. But the word of the Lord is right. My opinion isn't. The word of the Lord is right. The word of the Lord is true. And the word of the Lord will always be right. I am amazed at Christians who will say, "Yes, the word of the Lord is right. Yes, the word of the Lord is right. Yes, the word of the Lord is right. Yes, the word of the Lord is true." Until something comes into their life that they say, "Well, I don't know about that." It's always true. Every part of it's true. Whether we like it or not, whether we agree with it or not, it is all true. And by the way, that's where we stand, is on the truth of God's Word. I read to the Sunday school teachers this morning during our meeting in 2 John chapter number 2. It talks about the fact that truth will be with us forever. And I told them, look, I don't understand the total depth of that. I pray the Lord will show that to me in the weeks to come. But I do know the surface truth about that, and it's just very simple. The truth will always be truth. The truth will never go away. The truth is forever. It's not going to change tomorrow. It's not because it won't change because the charlatan preachers say, "Well, we live in the year 2021. This is a little different today." Look, if the Bible says it, the Bible said it back in the 1800s, and the Bible says it today, the Bible said it back in the thousands, the 500s, it's still true today. "For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth." Verse 5, "He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Did you see how he began the psalm? Rejoice in the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sing unto Him with a psaltery and instrument of 10 strings, sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise, because the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Verse 6, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." The earth is full of the goodness of God. When you get in your car in the morning and you get ready to head to work, your whole way to work, you're going to see the goodness of God Almighty. When you get up in the morning, men, and you kiss your wife goodbye for work, and you kiss your children goodbye, or you drop them off at school, most of them are on spring break this week, but you kiss your kids goodbye, and right there, that's the goodness of the Lord. Amen? You don't have to say amen. I'm trying to make sure that you're with me tonight. That's the goodness of God. Because His nature is to be good to His people. By the way, we don't merit it. He doesn't have to be. We don't deserve it. But that's His nature. Go back to Psalm 107 tonight. And let me give you three truths tonight. We'll develop those, at least the first two, a little bit. As we walk through Psalm 107, the first thing I want us to see tonight, I'd like for us to see the condition of the children. The condition of His children. Again, Psalm 107 is most likely speaking of the nation, or speaking to the nation of Israel. It is when the captives have been allowed to go back to Jerusalem. It was probably Psalm 107 and many of the Psalms in this section, probably all the way up to Psalm 119, were probably sung at the laying of the foundation of the temple. Can you imagine being there as they laid that foundation of that temple that had been ransacked, that had been reproached, that had been ruined because of their sin? And they're standing there and they're seeing that foundation laid. A God who is full of mercy, who allowed them to come back and allowed them to relay that foundation and rebuild that temple. Can you imagine the emotions? God is good. God is good. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that men would lift up their voices. Why? Because God is good. Because His works are wonderful to the children of men. Number one, we see the condition of His children. By the way, the nation of Israel, and I'm going to give you four statements about what the nation, or excuse me, the children experienced in this chapter. The condition of His children. And by the way, they experienced these conditions primarily because of their sin. However, God was still good. They were where they were, and we know this tonight. They were experiencing what they experienced because of their sin, but God was still good to them. First of all, tonight, we're talking about the condition of His children. Children, what did they experience? First of all, they experienced the solitude of the desert. Would you look at verses 1 through 7 with me if you would? The Bible says, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is, boy, there it is right there. For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. By the way, again, I know this is speaking of Israel, but my goodness, oh my goodness, the application in verse number 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are you redeemed tonight? Do you know Christ is your Savior tonight? Have you been washed by the blood of Christ? Have you been born again? Then say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord, those who have been bought out of the slave market of sin, who have been redeemed, who have been rescued, who have been freed from sin, let us say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed. By the way, if you can't say so tonight, then get saved tonight. Trust Christ tonight. Let Him wash away your sin tonight. By the way, why wouldn't you? Man, what a gift that is offered. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gather them out of the lands. Boy, let's go back to verse 2. Aren't you thankful that the enemy has no control over you anymore? Aren't you thankful that the enemy can't take you to hell with him anymore? Now, I know the enemy can come and he can tempt, and sometimes he does have a little control over us when we fall to temptation. I get that tonight. But the devil can't take me to hell with him anymore. The devil can't use me to be his cohort unless I allow him. Whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Romans 6 says that I don't have to serve sin anymore. I don't have to. Because I've been saved. Because I have the Holy Spirit living inside. Verse 3, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Number one tonight, we see the condition of His children. What was the condition of His children? The condition of His people? The condition of the nation of Israel? They experienced the solitude of the desert. Secondly, they experienced the shackles of the dungeon. They experienced the solitude of the desert. They experienced the shackles of the dungeon. Look in verse number 10, if you would. The Bible says, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. None to help. They experienced the solitude of the desert. They experienced the shackles of the dungeon. Thirdly, they experienced the shadow of death. We saw it right here in verse number 10, but look down at verse number 16 if you would. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. What does it say in verse 18? They draw near unto the gates of death. The condition of his children, they experienced the solitude of the desert. They experienced the shackles of the dungeon. They experienced the shadow of death. And then fourthly, they experienced the storms of the deep. Verse number 22. By the way, every single one of us probably experienced these at some time. We're talking about spiritually. You ever feel like spiritually that you're in the desert? Dry? It doesn't seem like you're getting anything from the Lord or getting anything from His Word. I submit most of the times when we're like that, we're probably in some kind of sin, but not always. There are times of dryness sometimes. The solitude of the desert, the shackles of the dungeon. Sometimes when we feel like we are bound by a sin that we just cannot defeat, doesn't mean we're not saved. It means we're battling against a sin that carries great sway over us. The shadow of death. They experienced the storms of the deep. Verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Now this is giving the description of a physical storm and some sailors in a physical ship going through a physical storm. But think about the application to us tonight when we're going through a spiritual storm and we're in a spiritual ship and we're in a spiritual storm and we're tossed to and fro, the Bible says. And the verse says in verse 26, they mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. The condition of his children. They have experienced the solitude of the desert. They have experienced the shackles of the dungeon. I believe that's a reference to their captivity there in Babylon. They have experienced the shadow of death. They have experienced the storms of the deep. We see the condition of his children. But secondly tonight, we see the goodness of our God. We see the condition of His children, the different conditions, circumstances that they had experienced. But secondly, tonight, we see the goodness of our God. And I want to give you three statements here and three truths about the goodness of God. And we could give many, many more. But I believe we find these three in this chapter tonight in the psalm. The goodness of our God. First of all, tonight, in His mercy, He hears and He saves. In His mercy, He hears and He saves. We read verse number 1. He says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." But look at verse number 6. The Bible says, "Then they cried unto the Lord." When they're in this solitude desert, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. Look, He doesn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that for the nation of Israel because He is judging them because of their sin. But because of His mercy, because of His goodness, when they cried out unto Him, He heard. He heard. And aren't you glad as a child of God tonight, based on Hebrews chapter number 4, where the Bible says we can go into the presence, into the throne room of God and obtain grace and help and find mercy? Aren't you glad for that tonight? Look at verse number 13, if you would. The goodness of our God, in His mercy, He hears and He saves. Verse number 13. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. They're bound, in verse 10, in affliction and iron. They're experiencing the shackles of the dungeon. They're experiencing captivity. They're bound in affliction and in iron. And in verse 13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. By the way, isn't that what they did in the book of Exodus? They are without a doubt in shackles and irons. They are slaves to the Pharaoh. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 3, when Moses comes and he stands at that burning bush, and later in that chapter in Exodus 3, the Bible says, God says, that He heard the cry and He saw the affliction of His people. And He said, I have come down to see. And Moses, I'm going to send you to deliver them. Then they cried, verse 13, unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Hey, listen, dear friend, tonight, if you're dealing and struggling with a sin tonight, you know what? God can break those bands tonight. I believe that with all my heart. I don't believe you have to go through a 12-step program. I don't believe you have to go through some psychological analysis. I believe if a person, a saved person or an unsaved person for that matter, but if a person comes to Christ and taps into the power of Almighty God, God can break their bands tonight. Whatever that sin may be. Young man, tonight, you dealing with a sin? You dealing with a temptation that it seems like you're tempted with over and over and over and over again, and it seems like so many times, more times than not, you are giving in to that sin, and you're allowing the devil to have the victory instead of the Holy Spirit to have the victory. Listen, if you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and ask for Him to break the bands of that temptation, and if you'll rest in the power of the Holy Spirit and in His guidance and in His help, the Bible says that He broke their bands asunder, in sunder, the Bible says. In His mercy, He hears and He saves. You say, Pastor, I don't believe it's that easy. Then you don't believe the power of an Almighty God. I believe we've lost a little bit of our faith when it comes to how mighty and how powerful God is. If He can do it for the men in the Bible, He can do it for us today, because they're no different than we are. They have the same God. They have the same Holy Spirit. No different. Look at verse number 19, if you would. Then they cry, the Bible says, then they cry unto the Lord. They're experiencing the shadow of death. Verse 18, they drew near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. In His mercy, He hears and He saves. That's how good our God is. Whether it's a storm, whether it's the shackles, whether it's the solitude in the desert, whether it's the shadow of death, in His mercy, He hears our cries. And the Bible says He delivers us out of our distresses. He saves us. Secondly, tonight, we're talking about the goodness of our God. In His mercy, He hears and saves. Secondly, by His might, He helps and satisfies. In His mercy, He hears and saves. Secondly, by His might, He helps and satisfies. Verse number 9. Verses 1 through 8, He's speaking about wandering in the wilderness in verse number 4 and verse 5. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Verse 9. For He satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. With goodness, there's that word again. With goodness, He fills it, He satisfies it, He satisfies our longing soul, and He fills the hungry soul with goodness. By His might, He helps and He satisfies. What's your need tonight? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Do you have a physical need? Do you have a financial need tonight? Or do you have a spiritual need tonight? He filleth the hungry soul with goodness. He satisfieth the longing soul. And I'm going to tell you what tonight, there is nothing in this world that can satisfy me the way the Lord Jesus Christ can. And there's nothing that can satisfy my thirsty and hungering soul like the Word of God can. Nothing. In His might and in His power, He helps and He satisfies. I'm worried and I'm concerned about Christians who get satisfied from so many other outlets other than the Word of God. Other than the Word of God. God is enough, isn't He? His Word is enough. Well, Pastor, you can say that because you've got a wife, you've got three beautiful kids. And by the way, they're beautiful because of my wife, not because of me. Amen? You can say amen right there. That would be okay. Pastor, you can say that, but what if something happens tomorrow? He's still satisfied. By the way, if something happens, then my soul is going to be longing. And He's the only one that can fill it up. He's the only one that can satisfy. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Look, and by the way, He's not out to get us and He's not out to bring bad things in our life. He's a good God. He's a God of goodness, that's His nature. In His mercy, He hears and saves it. By His might, He helps and He satisfies. Dear friend tonight, Brother Stark said it Wednesday night. He gives us our needs and He gives us some of our wants too, doesn't He? We don't need it, but sometimes we want it and He still gives it to us. He helps and He satisfies because He is good. Thirdly tonight, in His mercy He hears and saves, in His might or by His might He helps and satisfies. And then thirdly tonight, with His mouth He heals and He stills. H-E-A-L-S, because I can't make the difference in between those two vowels. I have a hard time with that. Because I live in Tennessee, that's my point. Heals, H-E-A-L-S, and stills, S-T-I-L-L-S. My wife can do it because she's very good at phonics. I'm not. I didn't grow up learning phonics. So I'm not very good at it. But He heals and He stills. And it's not S-T-E-A-L-S. That's what the destroyer does. That's what the devil does. That's what the thief does. He comes to steal and kill and destroy. No, He comes to S-T-I-L-L-S. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 20. Again, He's speaking about the shadow of death. In verse number 18, they draw near unto the gates of death. But notice verse number 20. He sent His, what's the word there? Word. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent His word. He sent His word, and if we'll obey and we'll submit, the Bible says He heals and He delivers from our self-destructions. Now, I know it doesn't say self there, but that's why they're in the mess that they're in, is because of self-destruction. Self. Self. And that's what Judah had done for so long. They had followed self and they had followed the heathen nation, and now they're in the captivity in Babylon and God allows them to come back. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Listen, dear friend, tonight, if you need help and you come to me for help, the only thing I'm going to give you is the Word of God. I'm not going to give you 12 steps to a happier life. I'm not going to tell you to go read Your Best Life Now. I'm going to give you the Word of God. Because that's what heals. I am not against reading good books. I am not. But I am against spending all my time reading books and neglecting the Word of God. Because this is what guides me. This is what heals me. This is what shows me how to live. And we find authors and we find individuals, well, man, Pastor, this is a good book. I'm not denying that it might be. But I'm not going to read it at the neglect of this. If I'm going to read it, I'm going to read it in addition to this. By the way, why would I want to read what a man has to say about the Bible when I can just read what God has already said about His Bible? Now, I'm not saying I don't do that. I do. Because there are times I get to passages and I'm like, whoa. Hey, Mr. Commentary Man, what do you think about this? Right? And many times I'll get the passage and I'll think, you know, I think this is what I believe. I think. Let me go see what he says. And see if he's on the same page with me. No, what does the Bible say? And then, by the way, what does the Holy Spirit tells me? What does it tell me that the Bible says? The Bible says if we'll go to the Holy Spirit, He'll guide us into all truth. With His mouth, with His Word, He heals, He gives direction, He gives us understanding. By the way, with His mouth, with His Word, He can heal a broken heart. With His mouth, with His Word, He can heal a broken marriage. He can do it, can He? All right, now somebody can give me an amen right there. I want an amen now. Yes. With His Word, He can heal a broken marriage. I've told y'all this before, but actually, I'm not even going to say it because they might be watching. I don't want to say it. Let's just move on. Would you look at verse 29? He maketh the storm. Remember the storms of the deep? He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are, what's the word? Still. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. The condition of His children. They experience the solitude of the desert, the shackles of the dungeon, the shadow of death, the storms of the deep, the goodness of our God. In His mercy He hears and saves. By His might He helps and satisfies. With His mouth He heals and He stills. That's how good our God is tonight. When the storms are raging around us, all He has to do is speak. Isn't that what He did in Mark 4? When He said, "Peace, be still." All He has to do is speak. His mouth. With His mouth, He heals and stills. The condition of His children, the goodness of our God. Brother Stark mentioned this Wednesday night, but I think every one of us ought to do it. It'd be a good thing if we just, in some quiet time, we just sat and wrote down the goodness of God. Brother Stark gave us 10 things Wednesday night. The very first one was simply, he said, "I don't have to go to hell." That was the first one he talked about Wednesday night. But maybe it'd be good if we would just sit in some quiet time and we would think about the goodness of God. And in that goodness, we're not just thinking about, well, God, I thank You for my home and my children and my spouse and my stuff, although that's part of it, and you ought to think about those. God is good. But maybe we ought to think, and maybe we ought to write down, "God, thank You for Your mercy when I was going through this period of my life. God, thank You for Your mercy when I wasn't totally living exactly the way I ought to live for You. God, I'm just thankful for Your mercy." Could we all say that tonight? God, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your mercy. Maybe we would write down, "God, thank You for Your might and how you worked in this situation in my life. Nobody else could have done that. Nothing else could have taken care of that situation. But in your might, in your power, in your omnipotence, you knew what I needed. You knew what I needed more than anybody else knew. And boy, you just provided. God, you're good. And God, with your mouth. Father, thank you for giving me the book of Proverbs that just shows me how to live every single day. Just the daily stuff. How to love my wife, how to love my children and train my children, how to handle money, how to work, how to control my tongue. That's all in Proverbs. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for your mouth. Thank you for your words that when I'm in the midst of a storm, all you have to do is speak, and your presence gives me peace. Remember, we say it all the time, peace is not found in the absence of trouble, it is found in the presence of God. Peace is not found in the absence of trouble. We don't say, God, take it all away and then I'll have peace. No, no, no. God, just go with me through it and I'll have peace. God doesn't always take it away. But God does promise to go through it with us. And that presence gives us peace. And boy, we just write down. God, thank you for going through this situation with me. Thank you for calming this storm. The goodness of our God, the condition of His children. Thirdly, we're not going to develop this. We're just going to look at a couple verses and we'll be done tonight. Thirdly tonight, the praise from His people. What are we all to do tonight because of our knowledge of how good God is? We ought to praise Him. And that's what the psalm says, doesn't it? In verse 1 it says, oh, give thanks. And in verse 8, four times, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. By the way, you know one of His wonderful works to the nation of Israel was allowing them to go into captivity because of their sin? And because of when they went into captivity, they understood, you know what? We deserve everything we're getting. We deserve this. And there in the captivity, they have Daniel praying. They have Daniel there in Babylon, and he's second in command. And here's a man who's praying for them. And God is teaching them. And God is strengthening them for them to be able to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple and rebuild the walls. He purged them. He refined them. And even in those times, we ought to thank God for that. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 22, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with, what's the word? Rejoicing. Verse number 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 32, let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. You see, we can praise God in our private time, and we should. But there are some times when we can praise Him in the crowd. And we can praise Him in the assembly when everybody's gathered together. And we can lift our voices, even if our heart is timid, our voice ought not to be. Because the Bible says here, let them exalt Him also in the congregation of the people, when everybody's gathered together, and praise Him in the assembly of the elders, the condition of His children, the goodness of our God, and the praise from His people. Friend, He's good, isn't He? And I know we could probably sit here and stand here for hours and talk about the goodness of our God. Hey, young people tonight, teenagers tonight, He's good. And you can trust Him. He's good. The people that you go to school with may mock His name, but He's good. By the way, even to that individual who mocks His name and uses His name as a curse word, He has mercy on. and gives them opportunity to be saved and to repent. Because the truth is, he could take them out just like that. But he's merciful. I've seen recently in the past few weeks in our nation, I'm thinking, man alive, when's that individual going to die? Seriously. You talk about God that way and you mock God that way, you're signing your death certificate. So you know what? That's my flesh. God's merciful. Now, by the way, God's also just, and sometimes he does that, doesn't he? Did it with Ananias and Sapphira. They lied to the Holy Ghost and they died immediately. But God's merciful. And praise God that he is, because we're all recipients of that mercy. Praise God for it. How is it tonight, friend? Are you praising him? The psalm is exclamatory 4 times. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. God is crying out tonight, oh, that men would praise me because I'm good to them. Are we doing that tonight? By the way, when we go through the conditions and the circumstances, do we still see that he's good? Do we cry out to him? Because in his mercy, he hears and he saves. In his might, he helps and he satisfies. And in his mouth, or with his mouth, he heals and he stills, he calms the storm. And friend, when we go through the circumstances, that's who we need to cry out to. It's God Almighty. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for Psalm 107. Father, there's much, much more in that chapter. Honestly, we just hit it. And we just studied it really superficially tonight, Lord. But Father, even just superficially, we see how good you are. And Father, tonight, we as a people, we know how good you are. We've experienced it. We've seen blessing upon blessing upon blessing. Father, I pray tonight you would just help us to praise you as your people. May praise come from us. Whether it be in the quietness of our hearts, whether it be the sacrifice of thanksgiving, where maybe an action shows our praise, or whether it would be in the congregation of the assembly among the elders, when we're gathered together, Father, help us to praise you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the goodness of this week and how you've helped us, how you've encouraged our hearts. You've edified us. You've equipped us. Father, help us not to forget that. Help us to have a continual heaviness and burden, not just for the people of Ireland and Sri Lanka, but, Lord, for my people. Help us with that, Lord. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Pam's at the piano. Listen, friend, the altar's open. Believer, you need to come. Do you need to come and pray? Hey, dear friend, tonight, are you here without Christ? Would you come? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Listen, friend, he saves us from the bondage of sin. He saves us from the penalty of sin. He paid the payment for our sin. And all we have to do is receive it. Dear friend, have you ever done that? Has there ever been a moment in time where you've cried out to Christ to save you? If you haven't, would you do it tonight? We can't make you. I can't make you. I wouldn't want to make you. Because if I did, you would leave the same as you walked in. But if very simply, with a humble heart, you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and cry out for salvation, dear friend, he'll save you tonight. Wash away those sins. Place you into his family. Give you a brand new heart, a brand new life. Holy Spirit will come and set up residence inside of your life. Believer, are we praising him? Because he sure is good. He sure is merciful. He sure is mighty. Dear friend, he's given us his word. It heals us, it guides us, it directs us. No matter the circumstance, He's good. He's good, He's good, He's good. Listen, dear church family, let's never question His goodness. Let's never question His Word. Let's never question the work that He's trying to do in our lives. That doesn't mean we can't go to Him and ask questions. But we should never doubt Him. We should never doubt Him. He's worthy to be trusted because His Word is sure. He's worthy for us to put our faith in Him. He's worthy for us to praise Him. Dear teenager, your friends may curse when they miss a shot on the basketball court. Dear friend, when you miss a shot, why don't you say, "Praise the Lord"? Show them something different. Show them that your God is good. Great is thy faithfulness. He's good.